Hallelujah. Amen. We have to still believe that no matter what is coming our way, we serve a great and a mighty God. Amen. We got to do our part. Hallelujah. Amen. I've asked Brother Nate to come and speak to us tonight about financial, biblical finances. Amen. Folks, we need to be diligent and go what God blesses us with in everything. Amen. We should not always be broke. Come on. We don't have to always have, you know, millions of dollars in the bank, but we should always be faithful. And I want God to bless us. And I believe the scripture says in Corinthians, moreover, it is required in stewards. God expects us, God, to be stewards, wise stewards, does he not? And moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay? And sometimes we put ourselves in predicaments where, you know, oh, I can't pay, do it this week. I have to try to get it 2 weeks from now or whatever. And I understand those moments, but not always. Amen? And I believe God has put some of us in places and positions to bless us. And sometimes we still just blow the things that God gives us. And I want us to be wise. Amen? I want us to be wise what God gives us, because I want Him to bless us more. Amen? So we have to be wise. So I've asked Brother Nate. Brother Nate is very good in his finances and investing and things of that nature. So I trust what he is bringing to you tonight. Let's give him a hand as he comes.
Amen. God is good. I find it not ironic at all, not by chance at all, that's what we're speaking about tonight. This was not planned after we knew the world was going to go crazy. It was planned before that. But God has a timing. And as I'm putting this together and I'm seeing news roll in and I'm seeing people that are, their companies are shut down, they're out of jobs, they hopefully have something stored up. And it's important as children of God that when opportunities to minister arise, that we're able to meet that challenge. And to do that, we need to be wise stewards. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Some of you are just turning there in your mind, because this is not a obscure verse by any means. But he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Pray with me. God, I love you and I thank you for the opportunity to be with your people today and to speak your word. I ask you, Lord, that you would take control. These would be your words and not mine. This is not something I want to do without you, God. I want you to speak through me and I want you to speak to us. All of us, speak to our hearts, Lord, that we can apply this to our life so we can grow to be more like you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If you were at our financial freedom series, this is nothing like that at all. So you don't need notes, you don't need pens, you don't need paper. But I would ask that you would listen and say, God, what do you have for me? This is not something, if you're broke, how you can store up money. Or this is not beat up on the rich or anything like that. This is just what God says about our money. And Jeremiah 29:11, he tells us that he has a plan for us. He's our Heavenly Father, and he has a plan for us, his people. I am a dad, and I have plans for my kids as well. And you know what? Sometimes things go according to plan, and sometimes they don't. If you are a parent or you're a child who could be objective, you realize your parent wants the best for you. Even when they do things that you don't like, they make rules you don't enjoy, or they give you opportunities that you don't feel up to taking, your parent wants the best for you, and they make a plan. And the plan, just like Jesus said there, just like God told Jeremiah, I have a plan not to hurt you, but to prosper you. But it all hinges on if we follow the plan. I can work hard and make a plan for my family, and it only works if everyone follows the plan. The problems in our life that occur out of money, whether it is problems that arise that come with wealth, or problems that arise out of destitution, it comes from us not following the plan. But the great news is, to fix it, all you have to do is follow a plan. It's not a new plan, it's a plan that's been around since before you were a twinkle in mama's eye. The whole time you've been alive, you've had access to this plan. And God says, if you just follow my word, you'll be okay. So why does God care so much about how I handle money? Anybody ever wondered that before? You may have found the answer now, but at some point you're like, what's the big deal? I work hard, I want to buy it. Right? Or I worked hard and I stored all of this up and I will invest it how I see fit. And God says, you can do whatever you want, but understand your decisions come with consequences. Your decisions determine prosper you, harm you. You get to make the choice. God believes in freedom. He says, you have the freedom to follow in these promises, or you have the freedom to mess your life up. But I get to pick. That is pretty cool. That is pretty. Sometimes we're like, oh, well, God, why in the world would you let me? Well, actually, we say, God, why would you do this to me? If you're being accurate about it, you're saying, God, why would you let me be stupid? And God says, cuz I love you enough to let you choose. And I want you to have the opportunity to love me. This God twisted our arm and just said, you're going to do right. Right? How many of you guys, you grew up and you knew your friend and their parents were super strict? And that child was miserable. And that child grew up to be the terror of the town. You're like, man, those parents, man, they got their kid in line. But that kid grows up to be awful. That kid spirals out of control because he was never allowed to choose. God knows, because he made you, he knows, if I let them choose, if I let them figure this out, if I let them own this, they'll believe and they'll do it with all of their heart. But if I force it on them, they're not doing it cheerfully. They're not doing it with all of their heart. God wants the best for you, and he wants you to understand it. He wants you to make the choice. Scripture says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. If we looked at our money that way, we realize that what I got in my paycheck that I think I earned, right? If I realize that every good and perfect gift comes from above, I might change the way I look at that money. Our title tonight is The Investment of Me. If we realize that we are an investment of God's, you are a little mutual fund, okay? And God says, I want to know what kind of return I'm going to get on this investment. We need to realize that everything I have is a gift from God. Your employer, your friends, and family may have been the conduit to which, or through which the blessing flowed to you. But make no mistake, the source of every good thing you have is from God. What you do with God's gift, every paycheck, every birthday present, every check in the mail that you get, what you do with God's gift is your opportunity to show him what kind of investment you are. It's your opportunity to show God, God, I'm a good investment, and if you bless me, I'm going to create a return on this investment. When I give someone something and I see them using its full potential, it makes me want to give them more things. I get a kick out of every single time I walk up and shake Brother Alejandro's hand and I recognize that shirt. And he goes, I'm wearing the Nate Roberts collection today. Don't buy into that collection. It only looks good on Alejandro. No, I'm just joking. But when I give something to someone and I see them using it, it does. It makes me feel good. And it makes me say, I wouldn't mind giving them something else if this came up again. But I've also, no names please, I've given things to people and I've seen it just destroyed. Or I've seen it unused. And when I see something, I had something and I knew its potential. I no longer had a use for it, but I had used it. I had owned it. I had seen its full potential, and I give it away to see the potential wasted. I'm not doing that again. But when I can give something and I can see it used to its full potential and it was able to help someone, I said, I like that and I'm going to do more of that. And that's the same way God is. When God gives you a gift, and this part doesn't just apply to money. When God gives you a gift and He sees you use it, God says, I like that. I'm going to do that again. But when He gives you a gift and He sees you destroy it, or He sees you leave it unused, or He sees it causing harm to you, He says, I am not doing that again. If you give something away and it's unused or destroyed, it has been proven to be a bad investment. We don't want to be bad investments to God. So we need to look at our lives and say, what kind of investment am I? We need to show God that we are an investment that creates a return. Amen? What would you do if you were God and you were praying, your children are asking you, they're praying, God, I need more money. God, I need this financial blessing. I need a raise. I need a new job. And meanwhile, your kid is going over here spending $200 on tennis shoes, don't have any food in the cupboard, can't pay their car payment, and their financial advisor works at the check cashing place. They can't spell savings. If you're God, you're saying, if I did that, it would wreck you. Because see, the thing to understand about money, money's not bad. Money's not good. Money's just a thing. But it's a thing that the more you have of it, it amplifies who you are. If you're a nasty person, you're incorrigible, nobody likes to be around you, when you get money, it makes you more incorrigible and more nasty. If you are a nice, giving, generous person, then when you get money, it makes you more generous. You have more opportunities to be who you are with money. And God knows if you're a wreck, you're not going to be able to handle this. It's going to destroy you and it's going to destroy everyone around you. God says you need to be understanding of how I view this money. If you want God to give you more money, you have to learn to manage what He's given you the way He intends you to use it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty heavy stuff. God says, I gave you something to manage. I want you to manage it the way I gave it to you. I want you to manage. I gave you a whole book on how to do this. I want you to do it my way. It's my stuff. And I'm letting you hang on to it. I just want you to take care of it. Scripture says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We need to understand that God wants us. He wants to bless us, not just for us. God doesn't just see things in your little timeline of life. God says, when I bless you, when He talked to Abraham, He said, I'm going to bless you. And your generations are going to just be like the stars of the sky. And then Abraham went on about his business. and went on about his business. And when he was about to die, God finally said, okay, here's your kid. God said, I'm not doing this just so you can see this. I'm blessing you to bless your children's children. If we can't think beyond next paycheck with our money, God says, I'm not going there. I'm not going to bless that. I've given you something, and I want you to use it to change your world. I want you to manage this where you can leave something behind, where you can bless people, where your children can be set up. God said, I want you to do that. And he doesn't want you to compare yourself to your neighbor and say, well, you know, they had a head start because their dad left them an inheritance. Da, da, da. God said, I want you to be the start of that. If you weren't left an inheritance, then I want you to start building one. I want you to start managing this my way. It says he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You want to know why God is so upset when we don't manage our money right? Because he loves you and he wants to see you do good. But he also loves the people around you. And he wants you to be able to bless them. This is not the only time in the Bible that God talks this way. But God also said of the parable of the talents, he gave this guy one talent, he gave this guy two, and he gave this guy five. And we know the story. The guy with five doubled his, and God said, good job, good job. And the guy with two doubled his, and God said, great job, keep it up. And the guy with one buried it in the sand. God wasn't comparing the guy with two talents to the guy with five talents. Said, you know, you did good. Well, you got four, but he's got ten. God wasn't interested in that. He said, but did you do something with what I gave you? If you'll do something, I'll bless you. The guy with one had his one taken away and given to the guy who now had ten. God says, if you won't do anything with what I've given you, not only am I going to not bless you with more, what do you do? There's, I'll take it away. I'll yank it out. And I'm going to give it to somebody who's going to do something with it. I don't know about you folks, but I want to be the one that's doing something with it. And say, God, if they won't do anything with it, bring it over here. I'm going to do something with that. God says, at least try. He said, you could have just taken it to the bank and put it in there and earned some interest. I would have given you credit. You didn't have to go double it. If you would have made something, if you would have created some kind of return, I would have continued to put something into you. But God says, it's not okay to squander this. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. Says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. They spend whatever they get. God said, we need to be able to be an example to the world around us. We need to be able to have our act together and not comparing ourselves and saying, hey, you know, what's your account look like? Okay, that's my new goal. But we need to be doing something saying, hey, God, I just want to be used of you. And I just want to be an example to the world around me. I want to be stable. God has so many things he wants to do in our life that he can only do if you can be stable. God talks about faithfulness, consistency. God says, I'm not asking you to be a superstar, okay? And God's not looking for that at all. But God says, I'm looking for you to be consistent and faithful so that I can be a superstar in you. I just want a safe place to show my glory. What are some ways that we can be wise and not just spend whatever we get? What are some things that suck money out of us? Number one, debt. In this world, it's crazy if you don't have it, okay? Bible never says debt is bad. Don't do it. But it does say debt is bad and foolish. Bible doesn't say you go to hell if you have debt. But it says it's going to be a stumbling block in your way to building something. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, chapter 20, verse 16, chapter 22, verse 7, And verses 26 and 27 says, the ritual over the poor, the borrower, servant to the lender. Do not be a man who strikes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. Those things are not things I want going on in my life. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want my bed snatched away. I want to be something stable. I want to be something that can be built, that God can build something on, okay? What we need to understand is I have battles I'm fighting in my life, right? I have things I'm trying to overcome. And I can't do that if I am somebody's slave. Slaves don't win. Slaves don't fight their own battles. And folks, if you're trying to overcome financial hurdles, and you're doing it running out to get debt to do it, God says, what about me? Why don't you try me? Think of your financial situation, the situation with David and Saul. And Goliath's out there, and Saul says, hey, use my armor. David could have borrowed his armor. But when he tried that on, it didn't fit right. He didn't have the freedom to move that he needed. He didn't have the agility he needed. He says, you know what? I can't go into battle with this. I can't kill my giant with somebody else's armor. Even if that just leaves me with a rag and a rock. I'd rather have that little something that's mine than have borrowed armor. God says, if you want to be able to be used and mightily used, don't go signing up for somebody else's team. Let me fight your battles. Let me make something great out of you. Sometimes we let the opportunity and the ease of getting debt jump in the way and try to become our solution to our financial problems, and say, instead of saying, God, what do you have for me? You might be going against the word of God in your finances, and you're digging a deeper hole and trying to subsidize it with debt. And God says, if you just learn the lesson, this wouldn't be happening. If you just read the manual I gave you, this wouldn't be happening. Or God might be trying to teach you something in your life, and you're getting in the way of what he's trying to teach you. He might be trying to teach you something about trusting him and relying on him. And we won't learn that lesson if we subsidize it with debt. But God says, allow me to take care of you. Allow me to provide for you. Also, we have to be profitable with our time. We can't squander. That's one of the gifts God's given us. And we can't squander that and expect blessings in our finances. Amen? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 and 11, it offers wisdom concerning laziness and financial ruin that comes from the laziness. We're told to consider the industrious ant who works and stores up food for itself. This passage also warns against sleeping when we should be doing something profitable. The scripture says a sluggard is lazy. My dad used to wake me up. We have friends over on Saturday, and I'm like, man, we stayed up till like 3 o'clock in the morning. Can you let us get a little bit of sleep? But no, 9:30, man. Oh, ye sluggard. Time to wake up. I said, I just wanted to sleep in. I'm like 12 years old. Come on, give me a break. But Scripture teaches us not to just waste our time and sleep away our day. And when you do that, God says, you only have so much time to build something. Build for my kingdom. Build for your future generations. Don't waste it being lazy. It goes by so fast. We also have to show God that we are an impact investment. An impact investment is a financial term for an investment that uses money and investment capital to help people. We need to show God that if He does bless me, then I'm going to use the resources He's given me, and I'm going to help others. I'm not just going to hoard it all to myself. Amen? God, if you bless me, I want to be able to bless other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 8, and 11 says, now remember this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others will also reap generously and be blessed. Skipping down to verse 6. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. Down to verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every way. That sounds good, but why? So that you may be generous, and this generosity administered through us is producing thanksgiving to God from those who benefit. God says, I want to do something miraculous in your life if when I give it to you, you do what I tell you. Because God says, I want to get glory through your life. I want to be able to bless you so you can bless someone else and they can see me in you. And I want your generosity, which only comes if you have abundance. God says, I want to give you abundance so you can have generosity so you can point people to me. God says, that's what I call a good investment. One of the ways that we can show God, no matter what state of finances you are in, we can show God what we intend to do with our money, okay? You say, God, I want this. And when I get this, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. God says, you don't have to wait. Because God's not one of you have to do great acts. God's a God of scale. Okay? One of the great things He did when He created the tithe, He said it's 10%. So if you make a dollar, 10 cents. It doesn't matter to God the size of the gift. God doesn't say, well, your tithe doesn't really count until it starts hitting 50 bucks. God says, I just want to know if I got first dibs on your money. As long as I still got first dibs, I'll give you more. If I start coming in second, third, fourth place, we're cutting this off. God said, I just want 10%. Because you know, you can do your budget on a percentage, right? It's just a nice little pie. This part of the pie goes to rent. This part of the pie goes to food. This part of the pie goes to utilities. But God says, you can do all that. I just want 10%. You know what? If it shrinks, 10% is still the same. 10% is 10%. Doesn't matter how much you make. So God says, if you say you're going to do this stuff, once you arrive in my blessings, well, I just want to see you doing it now. And God gives promises for everything that you do. What's our promise if we tithe? God says, I will rebuke the devourer. That means, hey, you know what? If you cut me in on that first 10%, you put me first, okay? The whole purpose of this is God wants to be first. God says, if you'll put me first, I'm going to stop things from coming in and messing up your budget. So God said, when your car was going to break down, I'm just going to step in there, keep that alternator going for a little bit longer. Just put me first. And see, the thing is, though, when God starts protecting you, He's protecting all these things from coming at you. He's kind of being the shield around your money. Be careful, man. You start pulling Him out of first place, and that shield comes out of the way, and then boom, you get whacked. And then you feel like, well, now I can't afford to give God His 10%. No, son, you can't afford not to. You need to put that shield back up. And then God says, I give you more opportunities. We have the opportunity for a tithe and get a protection on your money. He says, next I'm going to put in an offering. An offering is whatever you want. God didn't give you a number on the offering. But God, He gave you a clue on the idea behind the offering. He says, test me in this. It's the only time God told you to test Him. So what He's telling you there is, your offering, you give that in accordance to the blessing that you believe that I will give you. You give it, you tell me how much blessing I can give you through your offering. So the offering, that varies. If, man, you want a nice big old blessing, God says, well, when you got that $1,000 bonus, throw them my way, see what happens. Right? God says, you want to stick an extra $50 into your offering? That's great. You get a $50 blessing, that's good. Nothing to sneeze at. You throw even an extra buck, God says, I don't overlook it. This isn't about, oh, how much does the church need to operate? The church has God. the church will be okay. It's God's church. This is about me and my money and my relationship with it and understanding I only have it because He gave it to me. What I have tomorrow is in accordance with what He decides to give me. I need to grasp this and say, okay, it's on me, man. So I can control whether or not I have a shield protecting my money. God gave me that control. He gave me the control on the faucet for blessing. Okay, I can decide how much I'm going to get by how much I'm willing to give. God says, the more you're going to give, the more I'm going to feel it. Okay, you think about that, folks. If you had a mutual fund or you had a 401k or whatever you use your money in, and you said, I got one over here that gives me 1% return. And sometimes it even goes negative. Okay, it's a little iffy. And I got one over here, man, it's booming. It's like 12%. Where are you putting your money? But that's what God views us. When it comes to money, He's looking at us as investments. If I give it, what's going to happen to it is all God's evaluating. And God says, you get to decide this. It's in your behavior dictates my blessing. If I see it's good, I see it's faithful, I see it's reliable. This isn't iffy, on and off, on and off, on and off. And I see it's a return, it's generosity, it's the things, God says, the things I want done with my money, are you going to do them? The last one ties into this a lot as well. It's alms. Alms is kind of an old Bible word, but it's basically taking care of others in need. God says, I want to see, are you going to do this? Alms is your opportunity to bless your neighbors, to bless your friends, to bless and help those in need. Okay? Helping those in need is a great way to fight off selfishness and say, God, I'm willing to give to others, even if it didn't go into the offering and the church knows I'm a great giver. I'm willing to bless somebody. And you see, there's something else that's awesome about this, starting with the tithe, but it applies to all of them. Your tithe is an opportunity to put God first, okay? And when it comes to tithes, and it comes to offerings, and it comes to alms, this is your opportunity to show God, God, I don't love this money, this blessing, more than I love the one who blessed me. And you show Him that because you're saying, God, I'm not putting this before you. I'm not making it an idol. Because there's no way you can idolize something and be willing to give it away. If God is your number one, it's something that I'm not willing to get rid of this. I'm not willing to let it go. I'm not willing to give it away. God says, are you that way with me? Or are you that way with what I bless you with? And God says, I want you to be giving because that's what I am. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, it says, man prepareth a meal for enjoyment, and wine makes the life merry, and money is the answer to everything. Well, surely that doesn't mean that money is my God and it answers every single problem in the world. But it's in the Bible. What does that mean? It means broke people can't help anybody. Have you ever seen a broke person employ somebody? No. Turns out, you know, if you're one of those people that hate the rich, first of all, you're not in line with the Bible. But second of all, the guy who pays your paycheck is a rich man. The difference between you and the rich man is you haven't shown God you can handle that kind of money and still be a good person. God said, I'm looking for you. I'm still working on this, folks. I'm not rich. But I'm trying to learn it. I'm trying to read the manual. I'm just sharing with you what God's shown me in the manual so far. But God says, broke people aren't helping anybody. He said, I don't want you broke. Some people get broke and they think I'm more virtuous. Me and Jesus are like this because I'm broke. The difference is you can't turn a couple loaves and a couple fishes to feed 5,000 people. He can. But God says, I want you to be somebody who can help somebody. And it turns out most of the problems that people have in life come back to money, how they manage it, and the fact that they're broke. And God says, if you don't have anything extra, you can't give it. Imagine you're in this awful spiritual state and somebody comes up to you needing a word from God. If you haven't built something up, you don't have anything to give. God's the same way about your money. He says, I want you to have something so you can help. And God says, I want to bless through you if you can handle it. The thing is that we need to do is we need to make sure that when God does come around to blessing, that we don't start putting that first. Like we said, money's not good, money's not bad, money's just money. And Scripture doesn't say money is all evil, but it says the love of money, you start loving it more than you start loving God. And God says, now we got a problem. So often when people start ragging on the rich and they want to turn it to biblical and they bring up the rich young ruler, but Scripture says that Jesus looked on him and loved him. Because this guy said, man, I want to be with you in heaven. He said, what do I got to do? He said, I've been following all these rules. And God says, I love this guy. I got to let him know the one. He loved him too much to let him walk away thinking he was good. He says, son, you are doing great. Just one little thing. Sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and come with me. And some people look at that scripture and they say, well, that means rich people can't get to heaven. Because the very next line talks about how the rich young ruler was sad, he couldn't do it, and he walked away. And then Jesus turns to the disciples and says, you know, it's going to be rough for rich people to get to heaven. And people will say, well, I don't want to be rich so I can get into heaven easier. God didn't say they won't. He just says it's a little more difficult. That's why he's saying, I can't give you this if you don't start working on yourself to be able to handle it, or it'll keep you out of heaven, and I love you too much for that. Because this rich young ruler, man, this was the guy, he came in, he looked like a Christian, he sang like a Christian, he probably preached like a Christian, and God said, just one thing, those blessings, you're loving them a little bit too much. But you see, he hung out with Zacchaeus, he didn't tell him to sell everything. Scripture tells us there was a couple wealthy ladies that followed him around and kind of picked up the tab wherever him and his disciples went. He didn't tell them to sell everything. This wasn't an across-the-board thing of Jesus that you got to sell everything and follow me, just if it gets in the way of our relationship. God says, if I can give it to you and you won't love it too much and you can keep it. We don't know. This could have even been a situation like it was with Abraham. Hey, give me your kid. Okay, I see you're willing to. You can keep him now. But the rich young ruler just said, I'm not even willing to risk it. I love this too much. And God said, well, if that's the case, then I need you to get it out of your life. And folks, if you want to be successful in your walk with God, it's about following the rules and following the rules he's laid out, the plan he's laid out. Not the rules that you got to follow or I'm going to beat you up. But God said, I got a plan. If you follow it, but most importantly, keep your priorities straight. Keep me on top. As long as I stay the first thing on your list and I'm in that number one place, you're good. But the Bible says, seek ye first and then all these things. It's all over here. But keep me first. We got to watch out for surprise idols in our life, and that comes up so often with money. We got to say, I like this car, man. I really like this car. But I'm not willing to go in debt and be a slave to this idol. Right? I really, that watch. Ooh, doggy, if I got that watch, I would be the stuff. And then God says, but I had a little bit of plans for that money. It's not wrong to have nice things, don't get me wrong, but it's wrong to say, that's my focus, that's my goal, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get it. Because God says, but I had a plan for that money when I gave it to you. Why don't you check with me? And you know what? God's a good God. He's your heavenly Father. I'm a dad. I love to give my kids stuff. But you know what? When I see them enjoying a little bit too much, I go to take it away and they get an attitude about it. Ooh, guess you're not seeing that iPad for a week. God says, I'm cool with you having nice stuff as long as you keep me first. And if I take it away like Job, if I take it away and you still say glory to God, you can keep it. But if I go to ask you to give it up and you be like the rich young ruler and say, no, that's not happening, God says, well then, sorry, bud. Either got to take it away to help you make it to heaven or you're going to go off to hell. God says, but I can't be second place in your life. Last thing, what kind of investment am I? Do I show God it's profitable to bless me? Am I a profitable investment? I like this scripture right here so much. 2 Chronicles 16:9. I don't know if they have the translation I'm reading from, but we're going to roll with it anyways. It says, for the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro over all the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is fully devoted to him. You have acted foolishly in this matter, From now on, therefore, you will be at war. This scripture, the prophet's talking to King Asa, and he's telling him, God is going around. Okay? Asa was making some mistakes. He wasn't trusting in God. He was doing what we talked about earlier, going into debt to get himself out of his problems. He was going, trying to find another nation, say, hey, if I give you some money, will you send your soldiers over to protect our country? We're getting attacked. And the prophet comes up to him and says, hey, you remember back here you were in this real tough spot? It was a way tougher spot than this one, and God got you out of it. Why didn't you go to God? He said, because the problem is God is walking around. God's going around the earth looking, can I bless you? No, sorry. Can I bless you? Can I bless you? Can I bless you? God's going around the whole earth. Check it. Can I bless you? Can I bless you? Can I bless you? Oh, right. I can bless you. Pouring out a blessing. God's got a whole bunch of blessings ready to go. He said, I'm just looking to give it to somebody that's not going to hurt them. I'm looking to give it to somebody that's going to use it wisely. He says, but Asa, you messed up, man. You acted foolishly. Now you're going to be at war. God says, I don't want you and your finances at war all the time. I want you stable. I want you able to help people. I don't want you constantly fighting battles, wondering if I'm going to be able to pay rent next month. I don't want you constantly wondering, can I keep the lights on? I don't want that for my kids. But Scripture says he's going around looking, can I bless you? Can I bless you? Can I bless you? Can I bless you? He's already got it stocked up. He's looking to be able to let it go. It's not like you do something good and God says, okay, let me go find a blessing. All right, this will do. God's got them lined up with your name on it. He just says, will you do the right thing? Will you let me bless you? He said, all I want you to trust me. Come to me first. When you got a problem, come here. I'm your dad. Run to me when you got a problem. I want to be the one to help you. God doesn't want a church that's broke and constantly in a financial war. He wants a church that's grounded, that he can invest in without hurting us. That's what he's wanting from his kids. God wants to bless you. He's just looking for opportunities. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. As you go through and you read scriptures about finances, you hear a lot of the offering prayer that we pray. Sometimes people are like, why in the world are we praying that same prayer? Is it because it's from the Bible? Yeah. If we could stand. It's from the Word. Yeah. And we're claiming blessings. Because God says, if you'll do this, I'll do that. And God never lies. He does what He says. Okay. And in here, I love the part where it said, some translations see, I will open up the windows of heaven. I like this one a little bit better. It says, I will open up the floodgates. Have you ever seen a floodgate open? It's pretty cool. I found a kind of older video that I really liked about it. If they could throw that up there real quick. Check this out. Check that out. And you imagine God says, I want to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't have enough room for. He says, but I got to make sure it's not going to wreck you. Because if you're a boat and you're sitting underneath that, you're going down. God says, I need you to be a little more stable where you can handle this blessing. And I'm only going to give you so much blessing that you can handle it and not sink. We remember in the Bible where the disciples were fishing, and God said, throw your nets out one more time. They had fished all night, didn't catch a thing. They were discouraged. They were good fishermen. They stunk that night, and they were upset. They were cranky. How many of you guys ever worked really hard on something and failed completely? It doesn't make a happy man. These were 12 unhappy dudes, and God said, why don't you throw that net out one more time on the other side? God, are you serious? We kind of know what we're doing here. He said, just do it one more time. And they threw it out, and that began to fill up with fish. Their nets began to pop. They were pulling fish in left and right. Their boat started to sink from so many fish. But God said, I'm willing to go about that far, but I'm not willing to put you under. I'm only going to give you the blessing you can handle. God's not asking you to be a superstar. He's just asking you to be faithful and trust Him. And say, you know what? Hey, when you were learning how to ride a bike or you were learning how to do anything you had never done before, you get nervous and you have somebody there teaching you that you trust. And they say, no, really, if you don't put your feet on the ground, you keep them on a pedal, but you keep going fast enough, you're not going to fall over. And I'm right here to catch you if you do. Just do what I ask you. This is going to work. This is going to work. This is going to work. And God says, if you'll do what I told you in my word, if you'll let me be your master, not your MasterCard, let me be in charge. God says, trust me. I'm there to catch you if you start to fall. I just want you to do what I ask you to do. I want you to avoid the debt. I want you to budget. I want you to put me first on your list of expenses. When you put that budget out, put me right at the top. And I want you to live within your means. And I want you to start building something that you can bless other people with. If you'll start doing, God says, I'm not asking you to go build a $3,000 blessing fund. But I'm asking you to put something. I'm asking you to start thinking of others in your money. And I'm asking you to start thinking of me. And allow me to bless you. Allow me to trust me. One last thing. When you came to God, you came to Him with a lot of problems. And He's a loving God. And He cared about you. And He had grace. And He had mercy. And He blessed you. He helped you. He helped you out of situations you didn't know what else to do. Some of us thought our life was in a wreck and it was basically dead. And God brought it back to life. Some of you had marriages that were a wreck. God resurrected them. God brought them back to life. The same God who did that can do the same thing with your money. If you don't have any, follow His plan. He can help you. If you got a bunch and you don't know how to manage it with a good heart, He says, let me teach you. There's dangers on both ends, folks. There's dangers not being able to eat. There's dangers not being able to make heaven your home. God said, I can help with all of it. Just put me first. It's not going to be a big fancy schmancy altar call, but I ask you, please come down here and just talk to God. Say, God, because folks, we're all in this together. We all make mistakes in this. Okay? If you're here and you think you're perfect in it, you're wrong and you need down here fast. Okay? But we all need God's help with this. And I want you to please come down here and join me and let's ask God. God, please help us to grow in more like You, that we can be responsible. That when you go out looking to give out a blessing, God, you see me and I can get some of that. Amen? Let's join in.